Welcome to The Walls of Sparta, a podcast dedicated to authentic stories of men overcoming adversity by demonstrating strength, leadership, and healthy masculinity. I'm your host, Greg Papanicolaou, and you can find me on social media at Greg P underscore coach on Instagram and the Sparta Code on TikTok, and as well as Greg Papanicolaou on Facebook. Sparta is famously known as the ancient city of elite warriors. These legendary men defended their homeland with such vigor that they themselves became the walls. This show honors the Spartan legacy by showing men how we can remove our barriers and build true inner strength while promoting healthy masculinity in family and in business. The Walls of Sparta is sponsored by the Sparta Code. If you're a former athlete, business executive, or entrepreneur, and you know what you're capable of, but it feels like you've lost that edge lately, you're not alone. Our society is rapidly evolving, and those of us who hold on to traditional values that have a hard time keeping our tools sharp on our own need something like a brotherhood of men who value strength, family, and leadership. But above all else, we are committed to stepping into our true purpose and leaving a lasting legacy. We want to impact the lives of 1,000 men in the next 5 years. If you have a burning desire to return to greatness that you once felt, it's time to start living by the Sparta Code. Get the code now at www.coachgregp.com. Today's guest is Alan Lazaros, who is a business coach and a CEO and founder of Next Level University, and he helps people reach the next level in their life, love, health, and wealth. So, Alan, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Sparta show, man.
Thank you for having me and the healthy masculinity piece. That's awesome. I do
Yeah.
think the world desperately needs that, and I'm very much grateful to be a part of something that I do believe the world desperately needs. It's an honor. Thank you.
Thank you, and I can't agree more. And again, Alan, your story when I was reading it was really, really eye-opening and really inspiring. And I want you to kind of share a little bit to the audience here. Just remarkable. So if you would, thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. And the story starts, as many journeys do, in a lot of adversity. So I'll try to give the brief version. I know we've got a short form episode here. And everything's numbers for me. I'm going to say that out of the gate. I'm an engineer and I have my modality of thinking is definitely numbers. So bear with me on that. So when I was 2 years old, my father passed away in a car accident when he was 28 years old. I had a stepfather from age 3 to 14. My mom, when my father passed away, it was 1991. My mom was 31. My sister was 6, and I was almost 3. At 14, my stepfather left my family. And we went from sort of boats and ski trips, snowmobiles. We lived on a lake. We did pretty well. It was the mid to late 90s. He worked for a company called Agfa, AGFA. They did hospital computers, and if anyone remembers the 90s, the economy was a booming. And I went from boats and ski trips essentially to I get free lunch at school now because our income is so low. So he got the yacht and the apartment building. We got the house and the dog. He left, took his entire extended family with him. To this day, I haven't seen or spoken to a single one of them since. I did talk to my stepdad in my mid-20s on Facebook Messenger. I've never seen him in person since. That same year, hardest year of my life, I'm 14 years old. And so stepfather leaves. Sister moves out with her older boyfriend, understandable. We didn't really associate with the McCorkles anymore. So my birth father was John McCorkle. It was Jim, Joe, John, Jane, Joan, Jeanette. Big Irish Catholic family,
Course.
all J. And he was John McCorkle. And so when we were the Lazaruses, I took his name around, I think my stepdad's name around age 7 or something. And but when we were the Lazaruses, we weren't really associating much with the McCorkles anymore. So there goes the first family, and then he leaves, second family. Same year, mother gets in a fight with my aunt Sandy on my mom's side, her sister. She ostracizes us from that side of the family. So I kind of lost three families by the time I'm 14. So, didn't know this at the time, but it created two trauma responses. And again, I've since reconnected with the McCorkles. I haven't spoken to my stepdad's side at all. And I've since seen, I think, two individuals from my mom's entire extended family. But number one trauma response was abandonment issue. It was there's four trauma responses. There's fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. Fortunately, behind the scenes, when no one was around, it was aim higher, work harder, get smarter. Aim higher, work harder, get smarter. Aim higher, work harder, get smarter. Socially, though, it was fawn, which is appease, appease, appease. And I think Good Will Hunting's kind of a good metaphor for this because, in hindsight, again, fairly gifted, definitely a math brain, straight A's in high school, engineering school, master's in business, rose in corporate. Then I'm 26 years old and I get in my own car accident. So, my fault, wrong side of the road up in New Hampshire. Dark winter night 2015, the snowbanks are covering the yield sign. I was supposed to yield. I didn't. I end up on the wrong side of the road. Two things saved my life. Number one, I was driving a 2004 Volkswagen Passat. Thank you, Volkswagen. Safest freaking car ever. I used to call it the tank, German engineered steel trap of a car. I bought it for 5 grand cash because I had paid off 84 grand worth of debt in a single year, college debt. I was so proud of that. And then I had all this money in an investment account for Vanguard, like $150,000, all different tech stocks that I had high hopes for. And I was a 1% earner in my early 20s, global, not US, but global earner, because the US is like half a million at this point, I think. Biggest economy in the world. But, anyways, so this is back in 2015. The two things that saved my life, one was the Volkswagen. Thank you for buying that car. To my past self. And then number two, I thought it was a Mack truck. I looked up brightest lights I'd ever seen. I thought it was a Mack truck. It was actually a lift kitted pickup truck. And this was not a fender bender. The entire front end was completely smashed in, head on collision, but the frame stayed and the airbags deployed. So my little cousin, second cousin, one of the only people that came back from my mom's side 8 years later, he hurt his knee on the airbag. I hurt my face in the airbag, but we were physically okay. Mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, though, my dad died in a car when he was 28. I'm 26 at the time. And this was my quarter life existential crisis. This was my all the regret, all the contemplation, all the what if, all of it at once. And what I had talked to you about in the preamble, the pre-chat before we hit record, was this was sort of post-traumatic growth, second chance my dad never got, but also PTSD. I mean, crowds bothered me. I was claustrophobic. It was so hard to get back in a car. I kept getting pulled over because I was hugging the right side of the road because I had crossed the double yellows when I got in the accident. So it was actually really hard for me, mentally and emotionally, mental health wise, to get back through that adversity. But this is when I found self-improvement. And so before 26, I promise you the short version. Sorry. Before 26, it was very clearly, achievement, aim higher, work harder, get smarter. Aim higher, work harder, get smarter. And then socially, just don't get abandoned. Just fit in, fit in, fit in. Chameleon, chameleon, chameleon. Post 26, it was okay. I did the achievement thing. I achieved everything I thought was going to make me happy. I had a beautiful girlfriend. I lived on a lake. Our rent was $500 each. I drove that Volkswagen Passat. I had tons of money in a, bank account, investment account. And I had tons of friends, high school friends and college friends and corporate friends. And I made almost $200,000 a year as a computer engineer, global product manager, and then eventually outside sales engineer for a company called Cognex. They just sold industrial automation equipment. I managed all of Western New England, Vermont, Connecticut, Western Mass. And so post 26, so I went from external achievement and internally unfulfilled to I found self-improvement. I'm going to go all in on self-improvement. And I hope success will be a byproduct of that. I started a little company called Allen Lazarus LLC. What you'll never learn in school, but desperately in all caps, need to know. And I wanted to bring personal development to the school system, which was a terrible idea. I'm still kind of trying to do that, but in a very different way. And so then eventually I started a company called the Hyperconscious Podcast, and then we eventually rebranded to Next Level University, and now we have a 17 person team and 100 plus paying clients, and we've heard in 175 countries now, and now it's a whole thing. I'm a business coach with 28 individuals I coach all over the world now, and that's all great, but the real through line, the real lesson is I went from external achievement focus but internally unfulfilled, to I'm going to focus on self-improvement, holistic self-improvement, and then hope that external success is a byproduct of that. And eventually it was, although I did have to go all the way past broke in order to eventually get there.
Do you think it's so scary for people that are so focused on the results over and over again? They're talking about numbers, like you said. They want to see the consequences of their good action and all their work that they're putting in. Do you think that it just scares people half to death to have to go inward because they're tr maybe trying to avoid that altogether with just
100%.
results minded? Yeah.
Well, so I didn't start doing therapy until my 30s. I have a therapist named Carol, and it's the modality of IFS, internal family systems. And the idea, the best way to describe it is sort of if you've ever seen the Pixar Inside Out movie,
Yeah.
it's we have this system of parts, and whoever's grabbing the console, and it's sort of like all of us are on autopilot even if we don't know it. And it's not until you know it that you can kind of take yourself off autopilot and really start to be the leader of your parts rather than them leading you. But anyways, so in hindsight, it's very clear. I mean, I had a lot of trauma from my childhood, so I didn't want to face it. And of course, external achievement, I just figured, okay, my stepdad left. We went from boats and ski trips to free lunch at school. I shop at Salvation Army. My mom trades in her BMW for a little Honda Civic. And money seems to be the pain point. It definitely wasn't that. It was much more deep than that. It's the trauma of my father's death and all this different stuff. But you don't know because you're a kid. And so I just decided, you know what? I'm going to get wealthy. So my two paths were going to be lawyer, politician, president. And I realize in hindsight how weird this is, by the way. I didn't know this back then because I thought everyone had huge dreams. And then as I've gotten older, I realize, oh, okay, I was kind of weird. But so it was lawyer, politician, president, or it was engineer, MBA, CEO, like my hero at the time, Steve Jobs. And then you grow and I obviously chose the path of, engineer, MBA, CEO. And I inevitably ended up a CEO, which is interesting, but you kind of wake up off autopilot and then realize, you know what? I got to go inward and I got to figure out who I am. Because self-awareness for men is not culturally the focal point. My sister had a diary. Women, a lot of them have journals and diaries. I have a journal now. Right. But I didn't start journaling until I was 26. How alarming is that? Right. So, and I wasn't any less self-aware than most men, but I was definitely less self-aware than I am now. And the answers are external and internal. You can't have half the equation. What are we doing here? So, healthy masculinity starts from inside for sure.
And do you think that part of that, just that trying to capitalize on that and go inward, do you think it's such a struggle for people because they have a fear of sort of spending time alone with those thoughts, and they don't want to think deeply about themselves and do that self-improvement? Or do you think it's just a kind of an escape, and they try to escape in other ways, and that's just the typical mode that we end up in, especially men?
Yeah. I coach couples. My girlfriend and I, we have something called Relationship Talks Coaching. We have a podcast called The Conscious Couples Podcast, and it's just how to help people flourish in their relationship. And we do all different types of couples, but for the heterosexual couples, we coach the man and the woman. And then we do a hybrid model where I coach the man once a month, she coaches the woman once a month, one-on-one, and then we have a four-person session. And it's really cool to learn from that dynamic of what is being missed in translation. And statistically speaking, from what I've experienced and whatever I've researched in terms of the statistics, women tend to be more emotionally mature, statistically speaking. And it makes sense because not only biologically, but mostly culturally, they are encouraged to reflect and go inward. And I do think they're statistically more humble too. And I don't think anyone has to look far to realize that, right? So for men, it's almost like seen as weak to work on yourself, which is so fascinating to me because it's obviously the opposite. But when you're a young man, you get ribbed the moment you show any emotion whatsoever. And so it's kind of like the stereotypical badass in high school who gets all the girls because the girls have not yet realized how bad of an idea that is. And so men who, there's that whole nice guys always lose thing, when really it's there's three types of men. There's the overly docile one that I certainly was in high school. There's the overly dominant, actually deeply insecure, pretending to be dominant because they're actually a puffer fish. And there's a Netflix documentary called Puff, and it's just about a fish that literally, because it knows it's weak, it puffs up to pretend it's strong to protect itself. And that's what I think a lot of men are doing, particularly bullies. And then there's the third person, which is the healthy masculine. I've worked on myself, so I don't really have to puff. And I can if I need to, because I am actually strong, but like I don't have to. And so it's the overly dominant person who is actually deeply insecure, and usually the overly docile person who's also insecure. And it's just the trauma response of fight, puff up, or fawn and appease. And I was the fawn. And so now that I'm older and I'm 36 and I've worked on myself, and I now can sort of stay at five, stay centered. I try to stay centered. If you want to know who's really a healthy masculine, it's someone who can stay centered when they're triggered. And that's someone who can actually work through their emotions in real time. And it's really challenging to do that because men aren't really encouraged to deal with their emotions and cope with their emotions and learn how. Emotional intelligence never came easy to me. Intellectual stuff always came easy to me.
Gosh, Alan, I feel like we need a part two for this. So I hate to wrap it up here, but God, there was so much information for the audience to kind of chew on. So I definitely feel like we got to do another one of these if you're open to it.
I would love to. Yeah,
Yeah,
100%.
hearing
100%.
obviously not just the story, but the way in which you've sort of worked through those lessons. And I don't think I've known a person that has been able to articulate it that well post-trauma or just post, the hard work. Not really just the hard work, but the work in general, just to be able to kind of articulate how much they've learned and what they're doing going forward and how to use it to their advantage to help others.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. I've tried really hard to learn how to communicate these things, not only to myself, but to other people. And it is a rat's nest in there. I mean, you can spend your whole life working through understanding yourself and others in the world. And I'm only 36, so I'm still young, but like I know 1,000 times more than I did when I was 26. And I know 1,000 times more at 26 than I was at 16. So just you just have to keep doing this over and over and over again, learning about the world externally, yes, but also learning about your world internally and then how those two interact. And then you can sort of captain your own life in a healthy way that doesn't, hurt other people.
Yeah, that's again, these are such small bits and pieces of what I'm sure you could expand on later on in more episodes, but I really appreciate you coming on. And I want you to do this and tell people how they can get in touch with you with the different sort of ventures that you're doing right now, all the things you're involved in.
Yeah, absolutely. So nextleveluniverse.com, spelled just like it sounds, is the website. Everything's on there. We also have a podcast called Next Level University. We have a podcast called Podcast Growth University. And I'm actually creating one this year called Business Growth University. So it's level up yourself, level up your podcast, level up your business. Some business owners want to start a podcast. Some podcasters want to start a business. We call them listeners, longers, and business owners. Listeners learn from us. Longers want to build their own podcasts in their own communities, and then business owners need to generate revenue or they're going to go out of business like we almost did. And so I help the business owners. My business partner Kevin does the podcasters, and obviously that sometimes we both help both. We have some mutual clients. That said, my main focus for 2025, I have three of them. It's coaching, training, and podcasting, but the number one priority is coaching. So I have 28 people on my roster currently. I'm trying to get to 35 actually, and I don't think that will degrade the quality at all. I do weekly, I do biweekly, and I do monthly. And then I have a couple crazies who are twice a week, four of them actually now. And I'm very grateful. It's awesome. It's super affordable, probably more affordable than you think compared to most business coaches. And really what we do is we align your goals. I always close my eyes when I do this. Your goals, your priorities, your metrics, your habits, your skills, and your identity. And if those are all in alignment, you'll just achieve far more. And we do it quarterly, and We'll break down your annual goals into quarters and then your quarters into metrics and habits that you can actually do on a daily basis. And I track everything because I'm a numbers guy. So if you want more accountability, I'll set you up with some train tracks and then keep you on the train tracks and then we'll improve the train tracks. And that's really what my coaching's become.
Alan, that sounds incredible. You're really doing it, for a lot of people out there that are in need of this kind of thing. And considering all the stuff you've been through, you've mastered this field. And I really appreciate, the just from hearing how well you articulate this, I know that your coaching has to be top notch and has to be just top shelf in general. So really appreciate it. Again, guys, if you're battling the demons and live to tell about it, we want to hear from you. So come share your story here too at the Walls of Sparta. We interview men that overcame adversity. They're now demonstrating strength and leadership and that healthy masculinity that Alan and I talked about. So if you want to apply for future episodes, you can go to wallsofsparta.com. And once again, if you know what greatness feels like and you want to feel that again and you have a burning desire to bring it back, get the code now at coachgregp.com. Alan, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.